I want to say, I should have said this just now. I want to thank John and Ruth particularly for standing with us. 13 years John's been my elder here. And I'm like John, and I'm cracking up like John. But he's been a great guy to have alongside me. And I really couldn't be, the church has been enriched by having John there, and I want to acknowledge that. And but of course, everyone else as well, those that work so hard, like Simon and Karina and Pat and Gemma and Mark and Alice and Pete and Terry and Hannah and all of you. I don't know, where do I stop? You know, that's the trouble you start saying. But it's just been great. And I think it's really good that you're having a Vision Sunday next Sunday. Because that's like, this is the out with the old this week. You know, we're going, kick us out. And then next week you get the new. Because I believe the River Church has a great foundation for something. It's a foundation for something. It's not, to me, it's not a great church as it stands. But it has a foundation to be a great church. And that's really what I did in my ministry, was really just help build that foundation. And so I'm really looking forward to what God's going to do now. That God's going to raise up fresh ministry, fresh people that can build the church and take it forward. Take it, the potential is enormous, you know. The potential of this church is so much, much more greater than the potential down in Worthing that we're going to, as things stand. And so really, you know, because you've got younger men and women to take the church forward, which we haven't got in Worthing. And really, that's, you know, that's what we're there to do, I suppose. But we'll see what God does. It's what God does, you know. I mean, it's all about being about what I've done or Chris has done this morning. It isn't really about that. It's about what God does. That's what counts. What I do, all we are is, we're just servants, unprofitable servants that just, you know, just do what we are asked to do, really. That's all we've gone to Worthing to do, is just do what we're asked to do. And that's what we want to do. So we're just unprofitable servants. So that's all that I am. So whatever you've been heard this morning, I've just done what God put in my heart. That's all I've done. And but what I thought I'd do this morning is basically look at, and if I've got time, I'll try and be quick, but three aspects of why I think we've done in the River Church, what's happened during our time in the River Church. Three things maybe we've done which have been helpful, and hopefully we'll go forward in. And we've developed a WhatsApp. As you know, you've got a WhatsApp app, and we've done it amongst the MLG leaders. And so I was going to speak about the three C's, what helped build the foundation. And I had some some interesting guesses as to what the three C's were, like curry and chocolate and stuff like that. So it was a bit of fun. But I want to look at three C's that I think have helped build the River Church here this morning. By the way, it's a weekend of firsts for us. It's not just the end of something. It's the first time I've ever stayed in my son's house rather than he stay in mine. And that's both sons. We have one night each. And it's the first time I've ever preached in trainers. And you know why I'm preaching in trainers? Because I forgot to bring any other shoes for the weekend. So I'm preaching in trainers. I made myself vile by preaching in trainers this morning. And there we go. It's a first. But anyway, yeah, three things. So I'm not going to... They're three C's, and you probably won't guess them. So, what I want to do is increasingly, I love to have a passage and preach from a passage through a passage. That's what I'm finding God's really blessed me in recently. But I haven't got a passage today, so I... But what I came across was there are 15 psalms. I'm not going to read 15 psalms. in the middle of the Psalms called the Song of Ascents. And they were the songs that the pilgrims would have sung as they went up to Jerusalem to worship God. And there'd be a tremendous series to do a series on this Song of Ascents. So I'm going to pick out certain ones, certain bits from the Songs of Ascents as we go up to worship God this morning. And the first one is from the first one, which is in Psalm 120. And it just says this: "In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." I cried unto the Lord. That's my first C, cry. Because I think that at the beginning, that's all we did, really. Back in 22 years ago, we went to Giggs Hill, and we went there thinking there was a bit of a church, and there was hardly much of a church. You had some faithful people there praying, like Joan, who's still around, and some others. And Joyce, I think, and Jackie joined us fairly soon after that. But all we would do was pray. That's all we could do. Or we didn't have any decent men at all. I'll be honest. There weren't men that you really feel were, you know, going to be real ministers of God. There were men that were aspiring to be, but there weren't any. And all I could do was cry. And we used to have a monthly prayer meeting, didn't we, on a Tuesday. I remember that. And we used to come together and pray once a week, but I think particularly on a Tuesday, once a month, and we'd pray, and we'd pray. And I want to tell you that it's what you cry out for God does, what you really cry out for. The River Church came into being because we cried out to God to do something, to raise up. It says here, "Deliver me, my soul, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." And God, there's something that said, "I want the real church. I want a real church. I want people that really love you and really can minister in you." And that's what God's done. He produced a church of people with real, genuine heart after the Lord, that seeking the Lord. But I tell you, it came out of a heart which says, "I don't want that which is false. I don't want that that's just as nominal and just turning up to services. I want something where people's hearts are for the Lord." And we cried, didn't we? We cried unto the Lord. And what do you want to do? See God do in your life? Cry to him for it. Cry. There was a cry in the Old Testament of a lady called Rachel, and she was the beloved of her husband, but her problem was she couldn't have children, and yet her sister, who was ugly, and her husband didn't want to marry but had been forced into it, she produced children like that, and she had a whole long list of children. And poor old Rachel had none. And we read in Genesis chapter 30, we'll have more time, we'll look at it. It says, she prayed this, "Give me children or I die." What's your prayer this morning? What's your cry to God? Because that's what God's going to hear, what comes from down here. When you say, "This is what I really want, Lord, more than anything else, I want children unto you." And I think that's what's got to come in the church, that cry again in the church, in the new phase of things, is, "Lord, give us children." There's a sense where you're our children. God has, you know, we've heard that testimony, that we've been like parents to some of you. And you've got to be the new parents. That's what I'm saying. Where's your cry? Have you got the cry in your heart? "Lord, give us children. Let the River Church be fruitful afresh. Not with those that are here now, but those that are going to come in. Those sons and daughters from afar that we heard about." Where's your cry? Or do you think that the answer's in, I don't know, doing this or doing that? It isn't. We read further on. It says, "127, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And it goes on, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And you realise that. It's not about being busy, doing this, doing that. It's about crying unto God and saying, Lord, I want children for you. And how does he do it? I don't know how he does it. I don't know why you're all here. It wasn't because I went out on the streets and harangued you or something. Because God did it. God brought you from afar. He brought Simon from Sicily. He brought Karina from Holland. He brought Paula from St. Paul's Cray. He brought people. I believe because we cried. We prayed. You've got to make that your key thing. Are you going to cry to God? Cry. Not just say prayers, but cry. Something from down here. Which is, Lord, do something. And I think that's the first secret, really, of the River Church. We cried. Not just me and Chris. Others cried. And others maybe are crying today for that new thing. But the new thing will come about because you cry. God loves it. Every prominent woman in the Bible was barren, other than Mary, probably. They're all barren. They all had to cry. They cried to God, and God, it seems, answered their prayer. And God will answer your prayer. And as I've been preparing this, I'm thinking, I've got to start crying for Worthing. You know, I've said there are no younger men. There aren't. Well, it's time for me to cry. Because that's how they're going to come. Just cry to God. Lord, do something. Build a church. And that's what I'm going to do. And what I encourage you to do. So pray. Cry to God is my first C. The second one is I like to read one of the others, Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now you won't see the sea from that. But my second C is the cross. What do I mean by that? I mean it's about sacrifice. You see, you read the first part of that psalm and it's all great things. God's going to bring back the captivity. God's going to do great things. And that's what we want. That's what we want, the testimony in the church of God doing great things, God having set people free, God having transformed lives. That's what we want. But what does it say later on? It says this, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Why do you go forth weeping when you're sowing seed? It's because you know the ground's so hard, it's not going to bear much fruit. But you still go out, and you still go out, and you're going out, and you say, oh, it's hard, but I'm going to keep going, I'm going to keep going. And I want to encourage you this morning that you need to keep going ministering the word. Because you've got the word of God this morning. If God's put it in your heart, you've got the seed. And you've got to go out and you've got to tell people. And you've got to encourage people. And you've got to speak into their lives. Even though at times they don't receive it. You've got to keep going and you're going to kill you. I lost count the number of times I've come home and thought, I've preached a sermon and no one's had any reaction at all. And I've just kept going. And I just thought, haven't I? Number of times I said, well, no one said anything. I don't know whether I'm up the wall or what. But you just say, well, God's put it on my heart. I've got to keep going. So you go and preach it, and you go and preach it the next week, and you're walking around the station at times thinking, well, you know, feeling dreadful on a Monday morning because I thought, well, I preached and no one's reacted, and, you know, maybe it was complete, was it wrong or what? But you say, well, it seemed right, so I just kept going. And, you know, and that's how I felt at times. Kept going, keep preaching the word, keep bringing it. And of course, you talk to people out there around the craze or whatever, and you keep that word. Keep sowing it. Because it says here, that's the principle of, and I believe that's what we've done here. We've just kept preaching the word. And at times, as I say, doesn't seem to be a lot of fruit. It's hard. You cry, really weep for a sense of, Lord, please do something. So as one thing works into another, really. But you realise that's the truth. The truth is that's what Jesus did. He wept when he went to the cross. He wept to go through and do the Father's will. And you've got to go weeping. It's not about jumping. Yeah, the jumping up and down comes when you see the fruit. Like when people say this morning, isn't it nice what people said this morning about us? But I've only been, it's only been like that because we've been prepared to cry and to weep when it hasn't been so good. We've kept going. And, you know, at times one thing I've learned, you know, Pat, I don't remember Pat coming to the door and me lashing him. I don't remember that. But I know this. That people do, there are times when you have to challenge things. And I've learnt that you do it though with tears in your heart. I've learnt that among you. And I go to Worthing, there are things that I think I need to challenge. But I've got to do it with tears in my heart. Not, oh, I'm all right, I'm coming here to be the great saviour. That's what you do when you're young. And as you get older, you realise that you don't want to hurt anyone. You don't want to. It's hard telling people truths at times. But it's necessary. It's sowing the seed. And the fruit is what you hear this morning. Pat saying that. You think, wow, you know. Did I really have a go at him because he turned up at 10:30 at a men's meeting? I probably did. But I'll tell you this, I don't like doing it. Not anymore, anyway. But it's necessary. It's necessary to challenge things, challenge. But it's the word that challenges, the word. It's the word. And as I said just now, you know, this book has become more and more precious to me. I love it. It's not a law, it's not a textbook, it's not a rule book. It is God's heart to you this morning. Read it, imbibe it, take it in. It's precious seed to you. If I have one, the biggest regret about my time in the River Church, and I haven't got many, was that perhaps I haven't, particularly in later years, I haven't done enough Bible study with you. I haven't spent enough time spending time in this book. Because I say, you look at these songs of ascents that we're going through, and there's so much in there, there's such richness in there. And it's the seed. And at times people don't receive it, because of course no one wants to be told the truths at times. But this book is just so wonderful. So I'd encourage you to get hold of this book, and to read it and to take it to your heart. But as I say, if you really, it will produce a cross in your life. Because you'll have to start facing up to what it says. And people don't always like that. And you might have to share, and as you share it, you might be that you upset one or two people along the way. But you just say, well, it's the word of God. I'm sorry, you know, I really don't want to have to say this, but it's what the Bible says, and it will bring life when people receive it. but it won't bring life when they don't. So that's the second C, the cross. And the third one, you never guess this. My third one is, my third C is the word concrete. Never guess that, would you? And in a sense, concrete, I could have made it a more spiritual word. But the word concrete is, I think, consistent commitment. It's that, you know, concrete's what you can build on. You know, it was so encouraging to hear the story. It was that, I believe, almost the foundation for the River Church really was round our lunch table on a Sunday. We went through, you know, those of you know, we went through a couple of years of really, really difficult times at Giggs Hill at the end, where we were in, it was like going Sunday morning was not enjoyable. And there was that sense of tension and of conflict in the church. And, you know, you go there and you're just glad to get away. You know, you preach or whatever and do your stuff. But it was at that time, it's amazing, isn't it? It's at that time that God was bringing people. And you know, that's almost the trade-off. You know, you think we have it easy, but nothing happens. Or you have it difficult and things happen. And we had it difficult and things were happening. And we would have an open house on a Sunday for anyone to come to lunch with us. And around that table, we had some great times, didn't we, Simon? And one of the things that used to happen, we used to get the Mickey taken out of us. Simon did. I did as well. No one was immune. In fact, it got to a point at one point where we had to have a ban on caning, wasn't it? We called it being fun. And the dog, yeah, and being a bit too saying things we shouldn't. But there was that sense of it was coming together. It was a group of people coming together. And it was like a foundation was being built at that time. And it was unpretentious. You know, I hate pretentious Christians who think they're something. And I had the corners knocked off of me. Had the Mickey taken out of me for things. Couldn't get away with being, you know, spiritually, spiritually not clear. And so it was a laugh. We had a great laugh together. And really, that's where, I think it's that sense that people felt they could come. And we were just there. And all we were was just had our house open. And people came. And it's interesting, I think Peter mentioned about the grain of wheat falling in the ground and dying. And people would say of me, it was my favourite verse to preach on, from John 12, verse 24, where it says, when people wanted to see Jesus, and maybe you want to see Jesus this morning, that he says, you want to see Jesus? He says, well, Jesus' answer was, well, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And really, that's the truth of Christian ministry. That in the end, Christian ministry is about you falling in the ground and dying and becoming a foundation for other people. Dying to yourself. Not being about you and your issues, but being about, I just want people to be built upon me, and it's solid and it's concrete. And I just think that that's really all we did in the end. That's all this church, that's what this church is built on. Us falling in the ground and dying and just being there week in, week out. Just ministering week in, week out. And I haven't got great gifts. I'm not a great preacher. Or I'm not great anything really. I'm just a grain of corn that's fallen into the ground and died. And God's done something. But there has to be that sense of, I think people need that. I think people today want that sense of they can put their lives on something. There's so much that is airy-fairy in life, you know, transient, comings and goings. And God is looking for people who he can say, yeah, I can build on that person. They're not going to be here one day, gone the next. They're not going to be off next week because they don't feel too good. So they're not going to be here. And that's one thing I think we've done in a lot of you guys is we've produced that sense of you turn up week in, week out. And the church, I tell you this, without those that do that, this church couldn't exist. Because, you know, turn up, put the chairs out, do all the ordinary things of life, set this building, set this room up, set up, do the work amongst the kids down there. All that work goes on. And I suppose it doesn't get recognised in lots of ways. But that's what builds a church. People can come in. I mean, maybe they feel a bit frightened by it. Because where else do you find that? People voluntarily, they're not being paid to do it, but they're just giving themselves. And there's that sense of concreteness. I can build on that man. I can build on that woman. Because they're just there, week in, week out. I'm not trying to be something, not trying to want a great ministry, but they just want to be there for others. And I believe that's what God's done with us, called us to. It says this, Psalm 125, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. I want the River Church to be around in a few years' time. I think it will be. Because I think God has set together a group of people that are prepared to stand together, that are prepared to worship God and look to God and cry to God, and aren't about themselves. It's about giving themselves to others. And at times it's difficult, not easy. At times things don't work out. The Bible doesn't say everything's going to work out for you. That's man's idea that everything's going to be hunky-dory all the time. Because God's got an end plan. God's way is greater than our way. And we've got to believe that. And so as we move on, I want to encourage you really. Encourage you just to cry out to God, give yourself to others, and be there constant. Because as you do, I'm sure God will do a greater work, much greater than what we have this morning. There'll be a greater work, and it'll be fruit unto God, it'll be fruit of Jesus. And I always get a bit nervous when people speak highly of you. The Bible says, beware when people speak highly of you. Because really, we're not doing it for reward down here. It's nice that I've got a new bike and a new watch. But really, in the end, the reward is in heaven. And each one of us needs a reward in heaven. That's what the important reward is, not what people say of you down here, because they'll change. Maybe history revises itself. We won't. You look back in 10 years and you won't think so highly of us. That may happen. But what we've done is we've just done it unto the Lord. And that's what you've got to do. Just do it unto the Lord. Do pray for us in wording. That scripture that is on that painting was what God spoke to me and also spoke to Tom Griffiths at the conference. And that's like a prophetic word over us. But, you know, it talks about shaking. It talks about it's not going to be easy. And I'm sure it won't be easy. And it won't be easy for you either. But trust the Lord. And in the end, he'll work it all out. Amen. Amen.